tell you the truth,
I wasn't too sure about this week when it started. It's like I wasn't, as they say, feeling it, you know, but I've long learned not to trust my feelings. Well, because I'm not very excited about, you know, the 144,000 or the vast throng. At least I thought I wasn't. And then God brought this out of it. And wow, it just, the Spirit for me put this together of seeing these people come out of nowhere, or so it seems. And to me, it just thrilled me because I love it when God brings something out of what appears to be nothing. That's a comfort to me, and it should be to you, because, man, as your days go by and as the eon winds down, it seems like nothing, doesn't it? Going back to the Valley of Dry Bones, same thing there. Valley of Dry Bones, yeah, everything's exhausted. The bones are very dry. And it's comforting to know that that's when God's going to do his thing. And that he's not going to start from scratch. You know, it's the same with the remnant in Israel. He always has a remnant ready. He has people that are primed for this. They're going to need a heck of an adjustment. And it's the same thing of us. We're not perfect. We're going to need some adjustment when we get to the dais of Christ. But we're still longing for it. We're pining for it. And many of your friends and neighbors, they're pining for something. The world is pining for something. The world is so dissatisfied, and it knows, I think, that something huge is coming down the pike, but it doesn't know what it is. And the longer it goes, the worse it is. I've heard people say this, performers or athletes, they're very nervous before their big event, whether it's a football player going to play in the Super Bowl or a Broadway actress ready to take the stage. They're very nervous, but when the thing actually begins, it's like a relief when it starts. And I think our Lord felt that way once he walked out of the Garden of Gethsemane. It's like all his life he had this shadow cast over him that this damn thing was going to happen. And then he was finally in the last day. And it was like, God, this is finally going to get over with. And I think that that's going to be the case the day of indignation. It's like it's finally here, never to be repeated again, never to be repeated. That's the glorious thing. Now, look at this. We have two suggestive words here in this passage in the Unveiling 7. We have these vast throng people coming out of all nations, every tribe, peoples and languages, in white robes and palms in their hands. Palms. This is what John saw. It doesn't mean that in that day they're going to literally have palms, but it has to do with something that is the Israel. And what Israel is the Feast of Tabernacles. Because I'm going to go to this too in verse 15. I can't read without my glasses. It might be verse 14. And he was sitting on the throne, will be tabernacling over them. This is a hint of tabernacles. And I read to you yesterday, I think it was, Unveiling 14:4, maybe it was the day before, that the 144,000 are first fruit unto God. So if the 144,000 are first fruit, then these are the ingathering, the vast throng. And it could be, does vast throng necessarily mean that it's more than 144,000? I don't know. I don't necessarily think it has to be. But I think it is, come to think of it, because it says no one can count them. And obviously, we can count the 144,000 because there are 144,000 of them. So we're looking for a first fruit of a millennial harvest. These are going to enter the kingdom alive. To me, that is an epic statement, what I just said. They're going to enter the kingdom alive. And they are the equivalent in Israel, what we are in the body of Christ. We, I believe, there will be people, if it's not us, I believe it will be us, are going to enter into our immortality alive, as opposed to those who have already died in Christ, Paul among them, who will rise first, and then we will be snatched away together with them. There's a generation, there's a people who will walk alive into immortality. They won't die first real quick and then be raised up. That's what I've been told, that everybody's going to die. It's just that, you know, some people die a long time, and right before the snatching away, you're going to die and then wake up. You're going to, no, that is not required. they're going to be snatched away alive. Likewise, these vast throng, those of the vast throng, and the 144,000 are going to walk alive into the millennial kingdom, and they will precede the reposing saints of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, 12 apostles, those folks, 12 patriarchs. And that's why I see such a huge difference when we get to the seventh trumpet. There are some who are telling you that the seventh trumpet in Revelation is the same as the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, trying to make the point, they are, that there is no distinction between the body of Christ and Israel. There's a huge distinction here. In Israel, the living saints come first, and then the dead saints come later. In the body of Christ, the dead are raised first, then the living. It's completely the opposite. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and compare it with the book of Revelation. Compare it with Daniel chapter 12. These people are walking alive into the kingdom. They are an ingathering. And for that, I go to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10, as I toggle over to that. Leviticus 23:10. This is funny because I have several tabs here on my computer. And on one tab, I have Leviticus 23:10. On another tab, I have Leviticus 23:39 through 42, which I'm going to be getting to. And in another tab, I have Dawn Wells and Sugar Sugar, which shows you the breadth, the height, and the depth of my taste here. Dawn Wells is on YouTube. Dawn Wells, of course, played Marianne in Gilligan's Island, and there's a great YouTube video of her, of clips of her, put to the tune of "Sugar Sugar," the Archies hit, you know. Sugar, honey, honey. Well, go to Dawn Wells, Sugar, Sugar. There's some great shots of Dawn Wells being all adorable. I was a ginger guy myself. I like the ba-ba-boom of ginger. But having watched this video, I don't know. Marianne is looking pretty good here, especially to the backdrop of Sugar, Sugar. So anyway, back to Leviticus 23:10. See, I can change channels like that. It is no big deal to me. It's like, to live is Christ. It's not there, I have a Dawn Wells world, and then I have a Leviticus world. No, my Dawn Wells world and my Leviticus world coexist. I can change channels instantly. It's all the same to me, because all is of God, and I'm living, and to live is Christ. And it's so a beautiful thing. Leviticus 23:10, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. And that was a big deal, because the sheaf, that is, that first crop, was important to the rest of the crop. Now, Jesus Christ is the first fruit in Israel, and he has gone before. He's the elder brother who has been perfected. All of Israel, read the book of Hebrews, will be perfected behind him. The first to be perfected, seems to me, are the 144,000, because they're called a first fruit unto God. Now, this is not the same first fruit that you will find in 1 Corinthians 15, because that's talking about the order of resurrection of all humanity. We're just looking at Israel here. And the feasts in Israel had a lot to do with harvest and with grain. And they got all excited when they waved the first fruit. Wee, wee, wee. And it was a guarantee of the rest of the harvest. And so the Feast of Booths was later in the year. This was early in the year. And the Feast of Booths of the ingathering. This was the feast in October where the rest of the crop would come in. And for that, I'm going to go to Ginger Grant. Oh, wait, no. I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 39 through 42. Also, in the 50th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord. This was happy times in Israel. 7 days, a seven-day feast. Fantastic. On the first day shall be a Sabbath. On the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees. The boughs of trees, branches. This is what we find in the hands of the vast throng. They have palms in their hands. And they are saying with a loud voice, crying out. And so they're extremely happy there. And so, it's same thing with this feast. And you shall have the palm fronds. That's why I say that waving of these branches and the word tabernacling here is suggestive of finally, finally the full crop is coming in. This is what Paul promised us in Romans 11. Thus all in Romans 11:25 through the end of that chapter, thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. This is the ingathering. And so imagine the great Feast of Tabernacles, when not only the 144,000, but the vast throng come through, they arrive on the other side of that horror, and 75 days later, and then are met with the glorified returning Christ. That's going to be great. And then they're getting everything ready. They're preparing the temple for the former resurrection. And imagine the greeting that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Daniel, and David, and Peter, and James, and John, and those guys, and John, the writer of Revelation, I get so excited. Imagine the reception they're going to get. They're going to, listen, the 144,000 and the vast throng, add that up. You may have a million people, literally a million people. I'm not just saying a million people. I'm saying literally 1 million people gathered around to watch the former resurrection, to watch these epic personages, David, Daniel, Peter, James, John, come out of their tombs. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What a reception that's going to be. Jesus said, I will not drink of the vine again. I will not sip one sip of wine until I sip it with you in the kingdom. And there is one hell of a great bottle of wine awaiting this moment I am describing. No kidding. Salvation be our gods. He was sitting on the throne. Yes, salvation be our gods. What a great day that's going to be. Now, did I finish that? No, I didn't. And you shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord. Verse 41 of Leviticus 23. 7 days it shall be a statute for the eon in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. And that reminded them of the time that their lives were simple and pure and holy as they lived in little tabernacles following the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. And those simple, wonderful, faithful days are going to be again for Israel, only this time without the disbelief, without the mumbling, without the grumbling, without the incessant bitching that they did. And I'm going to quote now from Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is Moses. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but first I want to quote A. Enoch here in the second paragraph of the chapter titled The Throng Innumerable. Perhaps there is nothing in the history of nations so remarkable as the dispersion of the Jews. That is true. That crazy breaking that God thought was necessary. Not only are there American Jews and English Jews and French, German, Russian, and Polish Jews, besides the special Spanish branch. I didn't know there's a special Spanish branch of Jews. Apparently, I'm finding it out with you right here. But we are assured that there are Chinese Jews. Oh, is that right? Chinese Jews. Oh, time to celebrate the Feast of the Booths. I never heard of this. Okay, but okay. Indeed, it would be venturesome to say, this is A. Enoch, that any people was entirely free from the presence of the Semitic strain. It would be venturesome to say that anybody was free of it. It was free of the Semitic strain. And the process is still proceeding. Persecution is transplanting them into every known nation. There you go. What did God use to disperse them? Persecution. He brings about the trial to send them places so that he can bring them back. If I didn't finish that up right yesterday, that's what I meant to finish with. He puts the people on the stage. He gives them trials. He brings them goodly fruit. And then he fixes everything. Everything, there's orchestral music at the end. There's fanfare. You know, every music ends with this epic. Everything's fine at the end. There are timpanis and cymbals. And you have this great procession. And it's all tied up. And people are in the audience crying. And it's the end of the movie. But you've been through hell through the whole movie. You've been through hell. You were introduced to the characters in scene one. You've been through hell with them in scene two. And the procession and the palm fronds and the tabernacling with God is scene three. God's not going to leave us disappointed in this great production of his. No, his production is the best thing ever written. No human could have written it. And what he begun, he will accomplish.